many of you saw on TV about the billion-dollar lottery? Just curious. How many of you? Some of you actually didn't hear about that. Wow, that's pretty impressive. You must not be watching anything on TV or the media or whatever. But right this last week, now you heard, did you know there was a billion-dollar lottery? And I was watching the news. I don't remember what day it was. I don't even know what happened to it, so I'm not really in the end. Did somebody win it? Oh, my gosh. Okay. Anyway, I was watching the news. There were lines of people. Literally, it was like the beginning of Star Wars or something like that. The lines outside of stores all over the country were literally blocks, if not like almost a mile long, people standing in line to buy a lottery ticket, right? For the slim chance of winning $1 billion. You know, the truth is, you know, millions of people, maybe even some of you, went out there and maybe you bought a ticket with the idea, you know, I mean, it's money, right? A lot of money. But many people who are standing in those lines thought, you know what, if I just win this lottery, then I will be happy for life, right? And many of us think, well, I'd love to give that a try, you know. But the truth is, we all want to gain something in this life, right? Even as Christians, we still have this, oftentimes we have this pursuit of happiness. Many of us think, well, if I could just win the lottery, or if I could just have a little bit more money, or if I could just lose a few more pounds, or maybe buy some new clothes that I could afford, or have my favorite team win, then I'll feel better about myself, and I'll be happy, right? It's kind of like the man who was walking down the street, and he said out loud, he's kind of in a crowd just walking, he says, man, I wish I had $100, and somebody heard him say that was actually walking by him, and he stopped, he took his wallet out, and he gave him $100. The man looked at it, he said, man, I should have asked for $200. Never enough, right? Never enough. We always think we need more to be happy. Others pursue happiness through vacation, through sports, through a relationship, whether that be with our spouse or our kids or our boyfriend or our girlfriend. And while those things, most of those things are not wrong, matter of fact, they're actually, most of them are actually good. What we soon come to find out is those things don't bring lasting happiness. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. You see, God says that we're called to pursue happiness, yes, but not really happiness as the world says, okay? You see, when we say we believe in God and yet confidently pursue happiness at all costs, we need to be careful. We get in dangerous territory to believe that our life is all about our happiness. You ever thought of that? Think about your own life, and this introspection for me and for you is really, is that what you're living for? For my life to be happy, whatever that looks like. Maybe that's, you know, to have more stuff. Maybe that's just to have no problems. Craig Groeschel, he was author of a book called Christian Atheists. Actually, I think we looked at this book a number of years ago, maybe 5, 6, 7 years, I don't know. But I remember reading it. Interesting title, The Christian Atheist. But he says this, one of the things he says, if we believe that God wants us happy above all else, rather than acknowledging that our role is to serve God, we wrongly believe that God exists to serve us. Did you hear that? We wrongly believe that God exists to serve us. God becomes a means to our end, our happiness. How many people that go to church, how many of us that believe in God, that believe even in Jesus Christ, really deep down have that mindset that God is there to make me happy? The truth is that we are meant to find our happiness and our purpose in following the Lord. You know, that's why the last part of our mission statement is that we are called to be devoted followers of Christ. That we are to become more and more devoted followers of Jesus. Here in October, we've been talking about Jesus as the way, right? We've been talking about Jesus as the way, the one that we are to follow. What way are we following? What does Jesus say that we are to be about following? When we say that we follow the way, when we follow Jesus, what kind of way does he want for us? What does Jesus want us to follow? Well, there is so much. I mean, we could have spent literally a year on this series, but we're just looking at four different weeks, four things that Jesus really talks about when he says to follow him. What does it mean to follow him as our way? I hope you have your Bibles. Turn to Matthew 16. We're going to be in really just one passage. We'll look at a couple on the side, but this passage here, Matthew 16, 21 to 27. Let's read. It's on this, at this time it'll be on the screen as well, but let's look at verse 21 to 27 from our Bibles. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside, and he began to rebuke him. Rebuke Jesus, okay. He said, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Out of my sight," or some versions say, "Behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, and he talked to them all. He said, if anyone would come after me, right, would follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good is it for a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. We see here, I believe, a big picture, a big thought, and that is to follow Jesus, you must lose your life in order to gain the most out of this life. In other words, to gain, sometimes you first have to lose. Interesting thought. To gain, sometimes you first must lose. To really understand what Jesus is saying here, though, we need to kind of look at kind of the big picture, what I call two value systems that we have in the world. You really have one of two value systems. One is a man-centered value system. The other is a Christ-centered view. The man-centered system actually was originated not with man, but with Satan, who, of course, went and deceived man, Adam and Eve. And that system has continued on. But we also see, of course, the Christ value, the Christ-centered value system, which was, of course, originated with God himself. I believe we see it played out right here in this little conversation between Peter and Jesus. We see these two value systems being played out right here. See, Jesus knew that God the Father was calling him to go to the cross. And yet, what was Peter's response? Never. This will never happen to you, Jesus. I'm not going to allow it to happen. But listen again to Jesus' response, verse 23. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Out of my sight, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind, you do not have in your mind, in your thought, in your thinking, in your worldview, God. You don't have the things of God, but the things of men on your mind." Peter's mind wasn't focused on the things of God. He wasn't obviously listening to Jesus either, as Jesus had told them not just once, but a number of times, kind of what was going to happen. As a matter of fact, you know, if you and I are not focused on God, ultimately, we're going to be focused on this world. We're going to be influenced by the ultimate views of this world. And as Jesus says here, of Satan. He says to Peter, looks at him, he says, "Behind me, Satan. What you are saying is not of God. It is of Satan." As we do just a real quick review or overview here of these value systems, I think we can see three things. There's probably many more, but just three real quick things of these value systems that kind of Jesus points out, I believe, in verses 23 to 27. And he says the man-centered view is always world-focused. It's all focused on the here and the now. Whereas the Christ-centered value system is focused on the spiritual, on our soul, right? On what is eternal, what is ultimately lasting. A man-centered view is temporary. It focuses on the temporary things, what brings us temporary happiness. But a Christ-centered view looks at the eternal, the long view of happiness, the long view of happiness. what will bring us true joy and happiness. Lastly, the man-centered one, of course, focused on the world, the things that the world can reward us with. And there's a lot of things that this world can give us that we can enjoy. But when our focus is on that, we don't have Christ's focus, which is on the eternal, the God rewards that he wants us to look at. See, the truth is, these short-term rewards, many of these things that we enjoy today, aren't necessarily bad things. But when those are what we focus on, when that's where our heart is, we're missing out. And actually, we're being more influenced by the world, we're being influenced by Satan than we are by Christ. Many of us experience happiness, fulfillment in the things of this world, whether it be in relationships, whether it be some of the financial success that we have or the material blessings that we have. And we think that's where our happiness comes from. Many people pursue what they believe will bring them happiness apart from God. Maybe some of you have been that place. We certainly have family and friends that have been and are in that place. But you see, there's something that we need to know this morning. You're going to hear it over and over. And to think about this unique thought is to gain, sometimes you have to first lose. To gain, you have to lose. You know, even for people who claim to follow Christ, even for those of us who claim to be and are Christians, so many times we get sucked into this man-centered value system. Let me share with you a true story. A true story about Rachel. She wanted to be happy just like any young person. She was in her 20s. And she was a Christian. She went to church. She joined a co-ed softball team, and she met Mitch. He was cute, witty, fun. And so she thought, you know what? It would do no harm to start. You know, he liked her, had this attraction. So he asked her out. She thought, it wouldn't do no harm to go out with him, and even though he wasn't a Christian. But she thought, this is going to make me happy. So she began to date him, and they dated for a while and became pretty serious. And she was talking marriage, but he never... You know, he kept putting it off. He never wanted to even approach the idea of getting married or of commitment. And so as the relationship continued, she thought, but he, of course, said, well, let's move in together. I mean, I love you, so let's just move in together. And she thought, well, that will, you know, that's going to make him happy, and so that'll probably make me happy too. So they, of course, moved in together. And she knew that, you know, from her upbringing, she knew that she shouldn't have sex outside of marriage. She needed to wait for marriage. But she knew that this would make Mitch happy. He was pressuring her. He loved her. And so she thought, well, if it makes him happy, then it's going to make me happy. She did what she thought would make her happy. When Rachel discovered that she was pregnant, it seemed right that they should marry. It seemed like the right thing to do with the birth of their new child. It seemed right to trade in that paid-for sedan and to go into debt and to buy a brand new SUV. And then they thought, well, we live in this small apartment, but now that we're married, we have a child, we need to buy a house. I mean, that's what you do. You buy a house. And so they went and they bought a house that they couldn't really afford. But it would make them happy. But none of those things ultimately made either of them happy. Matter of fact, Mitch, not too long after that, left Rachel. And said, you know, I never really did love you anyway. He left her broke, devastated, and alone with a new baby. Even though every decision that she made, she thought, this is going to make me happy. But it didn't. You see, to live as a devoted follower of Christ, we're called to live by a different system. See, Rachel was living by a man, a self-focused value system, despite being brought up as a Christian and having made a commitment to Jesus. But you see, there's another way. There's another way for each one of us. There's another way for her to believe that Jesus knows what he's saying when he said, I am the way. And here's the way I want you to follow. That Jesus actually knows what he's saying when he gives us things that he wants us to do, even though sometimes they're really, really hard. Life is meant to be lived by a Christ-centered perspective and seeing life as it's meant to be lived from spiritual, from a Christ-centered and eternal value perspective. You have to accept and begin with this value system, or what Jesus says here is not going to make sense for you. We're going to look at some pretty bold things that Jesus says of how he wants us to follow him as the way. If we don't understand these two value systems, we're going to think what he's saying is crazy. But let's look again. You see, as a devoted follower of Christ, we need to understand that to gain, sometimes you must lose first. Look at verse 24, 26 in your Bibles. Let me read it to you again. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be if he gains the whole world, if he gains a $1 billion lottery, seems like the whole world, right? Yet forfeits his soul. Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus says here, if you want to follow him, you have to lose your life. What is he talking about? What does he mean? What does that look like in 2018 to lose your life? Well, I think what he's saying here is you have to give up the right to rule your own life. You have to give up the right to rule. That's what he says, what he means when he says deny yourself. It's basically a renouncing of the man or self-centered value system. It's to give up predominantly selfish interests for God's interests, for his glory. It's giving up our own selfish ambition or things that we think will make us happy and find that Jesus and following him is ultimately what will bring us not just happiness, but joy and purpose. You know, when you think of this, you might think this is pretty radical. Why would anybody ever do that? And we don't do that in normal life, right? Well, let me get you to think about something. For those who have been on a sports team, you know, when you're on a team, think about what you have to do as a team. What if every player came in there and said, "You know what? I'm going to make all the calls. I'm going to do what I think is right." How's the team going to do? How's the person going to do? For a team to succeed, each individual, what? Must give up their right to make the calls or to make the decisions. They have to trust that the coach knows what is best. They choose to believe the coach when he says will help them win. They must deny themselves. Now, we know that not all coaches make all the right decisions. But when we think about our coach, God, I believe that he does know and make all the right decisions. Because he's, as we believe, omniscient. He knows all things. He's omnipotent. He has all power. Jesus Christ, the one who knows the way for us to follow, knows what is best for us. And that's why he calls us to deny ourselves and follow him. He says, you must be willing even to suffer and to die to yourself. Those are words we don't use in our culture very much. Suffering, dying, right? It's a commitment. See, losing your life means you must be willing to make a total commitment to Christ, which means taking up your cross and following Jesus. Paul says it this way in Galatians 2:20. He said it a different time, different way. He said, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." He says, "I have been crucified with Christ." What's crucified mean? Cross is a symbol of suffering and of death. That's a symbol. That's what it symbolizes. It's the strangest symbol of any religion, of anything that you could think of, a cross. We might as well have around our necklace, instead of a cross, we should have an electric chair. Really? Saying that, you know what? I'm dying to myself. The cross is a choice. Paul had to choose. Now, you and I are probably not going to have to die physically for Christ. There are some people who are and have died for Christ, saying, "I'm not going to deny him." Maybe someday we'll be there. I hope not. But you know what? What he's talking about here is in our daily lives, right here in America. Will you die to yourself to follow Jesus? What does that look like? Well, it's a daily thing. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a daily choice. Basically says you need to daily to gain in your life. There's at times you have to lose. You have to give up certain things. You have to be different. For some, he calls us to endure a difficult relationship. That could be with a friend, could be with a spouse, it could be with a loved one. It could be with your neighbor. It's really hard to love. You have any of those people in your life? We all do, or we will. But we pick up our cross, and Jesus says to sacrificially love them. That's part of dying to yourself. We see this when I see a teenager take a stand for Christ at school and is ridiculed by their friends or by others. They are suffering, in a sense, for Christ. They have decided to follow Jesus as more important than the praise of their friends or their teacher. You know, I see this commitment, I see this sacrifice in many ways in our church. You know, I was just thinking about that this week as I was preparing this message, and to see people who give regularly, for instance, to the Jubilee Food Pantry. I think that's not a big deal, but as I see certain people, certain families that give to the Jubilee Food Pantry, who I know in themselves are struggling just to meet their own basic needs, and yet they generously give to the Jubilee Food Pantry for others. To see many of you here who regularly, like every week, sacrifice time as they come to make meals for families, as they come to teach kids through Kingdom Kids, who, you know what? They choose to give up, to lose of your time. You could be spending your time doing all kinds of other things, couldn't you? And yet to realize the loss of your time is of great gain for someone else and ultimately for you. You know, quite honestly, I'm overwhelmed at times by many people in our church who give regularly and generously and sacrificially to the Lord and to the ministries here at North Marine Fellowship to continue them. They're declaring, you're declaring by your actions what your values are, what your value system is. It's not man-centered, but it's the way of Jesus. You realize to gain, you have to lose sometimes. You have to give up something, whether that be time or money or unconditional love. And yet those who are of that mindset, they don't see it as giving it up, right? Many of you, it's not giving it up, it's investing, it's giving. It's carrying that cross proudly. Some carry the cross, some of you carry that cross when you are reprimanded at work for doing the right thing. You've been reprimanded maybe at work or at school or somewhere for doing the right thing, but it maybe wasn't the right thing for the office because it wasn't going to make the best sale or it wasn't going to, you know, help the company along the best, and yet you chose to do what was right, to do what Christ said you were supposed to do, and yet you were reprimanded. You were choosing to carry the cross of Christ. You know, here's a thought. If you've never, think about your life. Have you ever suffered in some way, not talking physical suffering, but have you ever suffered for Christ because you are a follower of his? And I'd ask the question is, if you've never suffered for Christ, are you truly following him as your way? Because the way of Jesus is the opposite of the way of the world. And sometimes those things are going to clash. One author, or First Peter. Peter finally got it. He got it not too long after Christ rose from the dead. The Holy Spirit came during Pentecost. And Peter later wrote in 1 Peter 2:21, he said this, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." That you should follow in Jesus' steps. One author wrote this, "Death to self," okay, this whole idea of denying yourself, "death to self is not so much a prerequisite to discipleship of Jesus, but rather it's a continuing characteristic of it." Does that make sense? In other words, coming to Christ, you don't know when you first come to Christ all the things that he's going to call you to die to. But when you follow Jesus, it's a condition, a characteristic of someone who's truly following Christ, that you will die to yourself. By following Jesus, it's not just about, though, giving up things. It's not just about carrying the cross. That's where it starts. But then Jesus says, he gives us some good news. He says, you know what? Yes, to gain you must lose, but there is gain. Notice the first part, to gain. Jesus understood what his life was all about. And now those of us who are followers of him know that when the cross comes, after the cross comes the crown. After the cross comes the crown. You must lose your life in order to gain the most out of this life. To gain, you must lose. You see, Jesus says, well, not just deny yourself and then, you know, this kind of life kind of sucks, you know, and it's not going to be very good. He says, no. Deny yourself, follow me, and you will gain much. You will gain the world. You will gain eternal rewards. Remember our two systems? A Christ-centered life results in eternal value and happiness. You will gain what Jesus calls real life or abundant life. Listen again one last time to verse 25 and 26. I'll read it to you. Jesus said, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses my life, his life for me will find it." Will find it. What good is it if a man gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Many people are thinking, if I just go the way that everybody else says, that I'm going to find value and happiness in this world. The world's motto is this: he is happiest who possesses most. Right? Wouldn't you kind of agree that's kind of our world's mindset, at least North America? But God says he is happiest who himself is possessed by Christ. He is happiest who himself is possessed by Christ. Jesus wants us to see the great gain of following him. Jesus said at another time in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, "The thief," which is Satan, "the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy." We think about all the things of the value system over here, right? All the things we think we can get by following the way of the world, Satan. But he says, ultimately, the thief wants to steal from you, destroy you, and ultimately kill you. If you follow that path, that's what will happen. But Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." Another version says, "Have it abundantly." My version is, "Have it the way that I created you to enjoy life." Too many people don't hear that message of what it means to follow the way of Jesus. "I have come that you might have life." Jesus came to give us real life, life for our soul and our spirit, now and forever. He calls us, yes, to die to ourselves daily. Actually, another passage says, "Die to yourself daily so that we can experience real life." Because we know that to gain, sometimes you have to lose. If we choose to live for ourselves, you see, the result is ultimately death and eternal separation from God and all that is good. But when we follow Christ, he says, you will gain eternal reward. Listen again to the last verse here that Jesus says. He says, "For the Son of Man," talking to himself, "for the Son of Man, for I am coming." The Son of Man is going to come to in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. God wants us to have lasting happiness, lasting reward. And unfortunately, I don't have time to go into those rewards. We did a sermon series actually not too long ago on the rewards of following God. But let me suffice it to say that they are numerous, beyond what we can even count. And you know, and just to start, just the simple thinking that God is going to create, he says, a new heavens and a new earth for us to enjoy forever. And he also says many other times that many of the things that we give up here and now, listen, many of the things that we may be called to give up here now, he will reward us 100 times more than what we have here in an even greater way. Plus, you'll be able to experience the real life that God intends, the things that money can't buy of peace and joy and purpose that he desires for us right now to experience. Even when things aren't going well, we can still have those things. Even when we don't have the $1 billion, we didn't win the $1 billion lottery. Even when our car breaks down, even when we lose our job, he says we can still experience life abundantly in him. And he rewards us in so many great ways. That's the way of Jesus. That's the way he wants for me and for you. That's the way of Jesus that I hope that you will follow. The question is, are you experiencing that kind of life? Is Jesus becoming more and more the way, the truth, and the life in your life, personally? Not for your spouse, not for your kids, not for your parents, but for you. Is Jesus truly the way, the truth, and the life? Are you willing to lose your life for Christ, which really isn't losing it in reality? But are we willing to lose, to deny ourselves in order to gain real life and eternal reward? Do you really believe that to gain, sometimes you have to lose? Jesus said, to gain life, you must lose your life. Don't just continue to pursue the things of this world. All the things that the world says is going to bring you happiness through a self-centered life, all the trappings of the world. But my encouragement, my challenge for myself, this is as true for me, if not more so for me than you, but may you and I learn what it means to follow Jesus as the way. As you let him rule your life, as you let him be your life.